Let me just start with some words, some wonderful words of our Lord Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for a day when we can spend time thinking about your word, considering the glories of it, the glories of our Lord, the help you give us every day. How we thank you for it. And Father, we commit this service to you because we desire to bring you our thanks and our praise and to learn of you. Help us to be obedient to your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our first hymn, number 41. Come, thou almighty King, help us thy name to sing, help us to praise. Father all-glorious, o'er all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. 41. Please open your Bibles at Psalm 130. It's a brief psalm, but it's a wonderful psalm. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. How we thank God for his word. Let's sing our second hymn, 119. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. 119. Please open your Bibles now at the Gospel of John, chapter 3. cutting into a conversation that our Lord was having with Nicodemus, one of the leading teachers of Israel. And we'll start at verse 14 and read to verse 21. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Well, we'll turn back to those words later, and we'll seek the Lord's help to understand what we should learn. Let's pray together now. Our Father, we come before you this morning with thanks in our hearts. We thank you for your daily goodness to us, the way you provide for all of our needs and we lack nothing. And all good things that we have in our lives come from you. How we thank you for this time of year and the beauty of the world around us. As the birds get busy, as the leaves come out on the trees and as the blossom flourishes. Father, for the beauty of this world, as it were, refreshed and recreated every year. Thank you for what it teaches us about your goodness. Father, we pray as your word is preached in millions of churches across the world today, we pray that your ministers will be faithful to your word and the truth would be heard. We pray that your people will be built up in faith and confidence and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that those who do not yet believe would come out of their condemnation and know salvation. Bless the missionaries as they work and protect them from harm. Bless all those Sunday school teachers as they minister to the children, we do pray. Father, we pray for our wider world. Oh, Father, how we seek the peace of this world. We pray that you will quickly bring peace to Ukraine, that you'll prevent this appalling conflict in that country. And Father, we pray for our own country. How sad we are that we are such a godless nation. So secular, abandoning or even perverting the created order of the Lord our God. Father, have mercy upon us, we pray. Have mercy upon the Anglican Church. Bring those bishops back into the light of your word, that truth would be spoken. Father, how we pray that you would do a work in our land once again. We thank you for what Mike reminded us of on Wednesday evening, that although there are times when all looks terribly quiet, yet there is a great harvest yet to come. Father, bring that harvest home soon, we pray, that our Lord Jesus Christ might return to an innumerable group of people who love him and seek to praise him for eternity. Hear our prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our third hymn, 594. Show pity, Lord. O Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. Are not thy mercies large and free? May not a sinner trust in thee? Hymn number 594. During the Second World War, a very elite group of Nazi senior generals got together and they produced what was called the final solution to the Jewish question. Of course, we know, most of us know at least what that is now. At the time, it was kept absolutely top secret. Nobody outside this group of people should really know what was going on. And of course it meant building Auschwitz, Treblinka, Sobibor, all these awful concentration camps, building ovens and murdering 90% of Polish Jews and 2/3 of European Jews. The final solution kept absolutely secret. President Putin controls the state media, doesn't he, in Russia? He does not want people in his country to know about the atrocities that occurred in Bucha. He doesn't want his people to see how Mariupol was razed to the ground. He doesn't want people in his own country revealing all of the corruption that is going on in Russia. Navalny tried that, didn't he? And what happened to Navalny? He got Novichok in his underpants, didn't he? They tried to kill him. Does not want the truth to come to light. Donald Trump paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 to keep her quiet. He didn't want her story to come to light just before the presidential elections. So he got one of his lawyer friends to hand the $130,000 over to Stormy Daniels. He then had a problem. How does he account for the $130,000 that he spent on keeping this woman quiet? So he put it down as legal expenses, which they weren't at all. They weren't legal expenses. But he couldn't exactly write on his accounts, could he? £130,000 paid to a woman who works for Playboy that I may or may not have had an affair with. He couldn't do that. So he tried to hide the truth. When Adam took of the fruit, he tried to hide the truth, didn't he? Tried to hide from God. When Abraham was travelling through Canaan, he wanted to hide the truth of who his stunningly beautiful wife was. He called her his sister, and she very, very nearly got married off to a foreign king. He wanted to hide the truth. Before Moses killed the Egyptian, the scriptures tell us that he looked to the right and he looked to the left, made sure nobody was watching, and then he killed the Egyptian. Didn't want the truth to come to light. What a bodge job David made of trying to hide the truth of his affair with Bathsheba. He got her husband back from the war front, didn't he? Tried to get him to sleep with Bathsheba so maybe everyone would think David was not the father. That didn't work, so he got the man drunk and he still didn't go back to his wife. So then David murdered him cruelly to try and keep the truth from coming to light. Peter, after Jesus was arrested, and Peter had followed Jesus and he went into that room and that little girl said, "Ah, you're one of Jesus' disciples, aren't you?" Lied. Three times, lied. Never knew Jesus. Did not want the truth to come to light. I did a counselling course a year ago at Cloverley Hall. And I don't think, well, they have invited me back, but I have no idea why. The first thing we did was we talked about the importance of confidentiality. That whatever was going to be spoken about in this room must never, ever leave the room. I mean, it was being recorded on the internet, but anyway. That was the message I wanted them to get. Absolute secrecy of what goes on in here. And on this counselling course, people have got to learn to be honest. They've got to learn to be open. They've got to learn to be able to trust one another. So I wanted them all to make a little mark on their piece of paper, which represented the thing in their lives they were most ashamed of. So all the people on the counselling course, all 25 of them, made this little mark. I said, "Right, thank you. I hope you were honest that that mark on your piece of paper represents the thing you're most ashamed of in your life. Now I'm going to come round and look and try and find three people, those people not avoiding eye contact. If you avoid eye contact, you've had it. And I want you to stand up and tell everybody what it is that you're most ashamed of in your life. I tell you, talk about sea levels rising from sweat." Of course, I didn't do that. But everybody got frightened. And there's one dear, lovely, lovely, godly minister, who people here know, so I'm absolutely not going to mention his name, who said, I thought you might do something like this. So in fact, I had another thing prepared. I was never going to tell everybody the truth. And you see, the thing is, we all have secrets. We all have secrets. Sure, there are some secrets we can share with other people. And it sort of lightens the load a bit, doesn't it? But there are other secrets we can't share with anybody. Now, over the last 15 years, there's been some very interesting work going on about secrets. At any one time, 97% of people are carrying burdensome secrets. Now, working on the assumption that I'm standing up here and preaching, it obviously isn't me, so it must be all of you carrying burdensome secrets. And the average person is carrying 13 secrets that they cannot tell anybody. Now, what are these secrets about? Excuse me. Well, there are obviously thousands. But the biggest group, sexual secrets. Urges, desires, pornography, same-sex attraction, transgender stuff, relationships you should never, ever, ever have had with other people that you don't want people to find out about, extramarital affairs, you name it. Sexual secrets, the biggest category of secrets that people have. Then there's betrayal of trust, broken promises. You've not kept somebody else's secret. A big lie that you've told. Something that you've stolen. Having an addiction or having used illegal substances and you don't want people to know. Financial secrets, family secrets, there are all sorts of secrets. Now, if you read your Bible, you would get the impression that secrets like this are a heavy burden. Well, guess what the research has found? Secrets like this are a heavy burden. They make people tired, and they make people weary, and it feels as though they're carrying a weight around. Now, the research is quite extraordinary. If you take a group of people without any secrets, this tiny little group of people, if you can find them, and people with secrets, and you ask them, how much effort will this physical task require? People with secrets will overestimate the effort required to do the task. If you ask them to estimate the distance between two places, people who carry secrets overestimate the distance. If you ask them how steep is a hill, people with secrets, they overestimate the steepness of the hill. And people with secrets are much less likely to want to do a favour for other people. Because they just feel too burdened, too weary, too heavily laden to have the energy to help other people. Why do people keep things secret? Well, it's usually pretty obvious, isn't it? They feel horribly guilty. That means they feel as though they've done something wrong. But they also feel horribly ashamed. That means they feel like bad people. And everyone wants to feel like a good person, but actually, we all feel we're bad people. We don't want to be judged. We don't want to be rejected. We don't want to be condemned and we don't want to be punished. And so just keep it secret. Carry your weight around with you all of your life. Well, guilt, shame, burden, fatigue affects us all, you, me, everyone. What does our Lord say in John chapter 3? This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. love darkness rather than light. I'm not saying we all love darkness all the time rather than light. But there are times when we do love darkness rather than light. Why? Because our deeds are evil and we know it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be carrying secrets around with us. Right, well, it's hardly surprising then, if we don't want to tell other people about the skeletons in our cupboard, why on earth would we want to come before a holy God? Why would we want to? And of course, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus says. You won't come into the light. You won't do it. What, if you were thinking about it and you put your situation in the position of somebody carrying a really heavy burden of guilty, dirty secrets, what would you say a person like that would want more than anything else? What would they want more than anything else? Let's think of the top three. I don't think they want to be hated. I think they'd rather be loved. But they fear they'll be hated if the secret comes out. They do not want to be condemned for what they've done. Again, they're frightened, maybe to tell the person they've offended, because they believe they will be condemned. But they want to be forgiven. And what else? Well, I think they don't want to be carrying this weight around for the rest of their lives, feeling weary and tired and burdened. They don't want that. People with secrets really want to be loved, want to be forgiven, want to be given rest. Welcome to the Christian gospel. Welcome to the Christian gospel. If you go to the Lord with your secrets, what might you expect? What might you expect? Do you know, we grieve God's heart so often because we expect a grumpy, irritated, reluctant forgiveness. A grudging acceptance, not a love. But what does the Lord teach us here in John chapter 3, verse 16? Most famous verse in the world, isn't it? For God loved a wicked, evil world in this manner that he gave his one and only Son, his unique Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loved this wicked world. He loved it. Does God love his Son? Oh my word, God loves his Son, doesn't he? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son. The whole pleasure of my existence, the joy of it, the delight of it, the satisfaction of the Father's heart rests in his love for his Son. He loves the earth he's created. Look how he's refreshing it. Think about how he's concerned about the form of a little brown sparrow. And he loves a sinful world. He doesn't love a sinful world in the sense that he would swap his Son for a sinful world. He loves his Son, but he's willing to send his Son from glory to be conceived and born and live and suffer, be spat upon and beaten and crucified and rise from the dead and come back to glory. He's willing to give his Son to be a saviour for a wicked world. Why? Because he loves people. He loves people. And when you say God loves the world, that absolutely means you. You and me. He loves you and me. And God's love, it trips off the tongue. It just trips the love of God. so easily said. We haven't got a clue what that means. The depth, the height, the length, the depth, the breadth. The immensity, the infinity, the eternity of the love of God. To those who go to him. The love of God. And how we honour God. And how we please God. When we don't hide away from him with our secrets, but we go to him. This is an absolute promise from God's word. If you have any guilty secrets and you take them to the Lord, you will be loved. Think of the prodigal son and the father running to him and embracing him and kissing him and putting robes on him, killing the fatted calf for him. You will be received and you will be loved if you go to the Lord with your secrets. What else? We said somebody with secrets would not want to be hated, they'd want to be loved. Well, there's love for them in the Lord. What about forgiveness? Look at verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If you go to the Lord with your secrets, will he condemn you? No. 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 God didn't send Jesus into this world so that you'll be condemned. He sent him so that you'll be saved, so that you'll be forgiven. Psalm 35, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. You forgave me. You didn't tell me off. You didn't give me a hard time. You forgave me. You loved me. And you forgave me. How wonderful. And again, we've no idea the degree to which our Heavenly Father longs to forgive people for their sins, for their secrets, if only they would go to him. We're taught in Ephesians, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Kind, compassionate, forgiving. That's how the Lord is towards people who go to him. And, you know, the one thing I think that's probably troubled me with regards to forgiveness all my life is, oh my word, here I go again. Here I go again, asking for forgiveness for exactly the same thing. The Lord must find this so tedious. You know, at some point, his patience is going to wear out. But he instructs us, doesn't he? He instructs us as his disciples. Even if people sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. You must. His patience does not wear out. His patience does not wear out. When you go back and you say sorry again. When you say, this is hopeless. I can't do this. Forgive me, help me. You will be forgiven. Every single time you'll be forgiven. We must never, ever keep away from the Lord because we think his patience with us has run out. What about the heavy burden we carry of guilt and shame? We started off this service with these words. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You will. Come to me. Tell me your secrets. Just don't say, I have a secret, Lord. Tell me your secret. Tell me all about it. Tell me what was going on in your mind. Tell me what was going on in your heart. Tell me everything. Tell me everything about it. You'll be loved. You'll be forgiven. And I'll give you rest. What do we have? We have God's immense grace, mercy, and love, which we can expect. His love is eternal. His forgiveness is complete, and the rest for our souls is perfect if we go to him. Men love darkness rather than light. Well, don't stay in that position. Go to the Lord. I just want to add a rider, really. This is what the scriptures guarantee. You go to the Lord with your secret sins, and he will love you, and he will forgive you, and he will give you rest. He'll take that heavy burden off your shoulders. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgives us our sins. But, he may not take away some of the issues that give rise to trouble in your life, that torment you from time to time. He may not. He may, and he does wonderfully. And I don't think there'll be a Christian here who can't say how the Lord has delivered them from old patterns of behaviour that were so destructive. But do you remember the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul had unbelievably glorious revelations of God, didn't he? Tells us in 2 Corinthians. And there was a real danger for Paul, a real danger that he was going to become conceited. And so he was sent a thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan, he says, to torment me. So whatever it is, it tormented Paul. And he prayed 3 times that the Lord would take this away. No, I'm not taking it away. If I take it away, you'll become conceited. And although this torments you, Paul, for this particular moment in time, my grace is sufficient for you. See, we have this awful, awful habit. We think if the Lord will cleanse all our sins and forgive us, from then on we're going to live this perfect life and keep the Lord happy. No, we mustn't think like that. We make no contribution to the grace of God. My grace alone is sufficient for you to be loved and forgiven and given rest and taken by the hand and led safely home to glory. My grace is sufficient. Yes, from time to time, you might well be tormented by things, but I promise you, you need them for your good. But my grace will be sufficient for you. Our rest, the rest that the Lord gives us, isn't the rest of feeling that we are now good people and clean people and we won't ever do any bad things again. The rest is God's grace is sufficient to take me safely home to glory. So in this absolutely wonderful little passage, we learn how men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We all carry around secrets that we don't want anybody to know, but we're instructed here, take them to the Lord, because you'll be loved, you'll be forgiven, you'll be given rest, and his grace will be sufficient for you for eternity. Let's sing our last hymn, 537. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love, tender and true, out of the heart of the Father above, streaming to me and to you. Wonderful love dwells in the heart of the Father above. Jesus is seeking the wanderers yet. Why do they roam? Love only waits to forgive and forget. Home, weary wanderer, home. Wonderful love dwells in the heart of the Father above. 537. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and for evermore. Amen.